If you have your Bibles, you know, this week there's been a lot of things on my mind. With camp, buses, all kind of things that was going on. And it really didn't even dawn on me till yesterday that this week is July the 4th. Susan came in the auditorium after the kids got back from camp. And she walked in and she said, who put the flags in there? And I said, I don't know. And I don't know. I still don't know. But I like them. And I'm glad we got them. But again, it reminded me that this was the 4th of July. Well, that's not a message that I have for you today. I'm going to give you the one God had given to me and already written it down. And I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. You know, we all witness from time to time a beautiful Sunday afternoon or sunny afternoon when suddenly the sky darkens and the winds begin to rage and blow and torrential rain fell. But especially if you live in Florida, sometimes they come fast and they go away fast. And it kind of reminds me of life that we live. It comes fast and it ends fast. And I know I took the Bible and I've never done this, but it sounds kind of a little bit strange. But I'm preaching today on the subject of the death of death. Now think about it. You may think that don't make sense, but it does. And I'll show you that in a minute. It's called the death of death. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, begin reading in verse number 20. And we'll read down through verse number 26. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, verse 24, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he hath put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint my lips. Lord, give me the words you'd have me to say. I pray, Lord, that I'd speak in a manner, to, Lord, that you could speak through me and that you could encourage and strengthen those that are here today. Father, death is not something we like to talk about, not something we like to think about, but it's a reality that's going to happen to every one of us if you do not come back and take us home to be with you before that time. And Lord, I pray that all of us today are going to be ready when that time comes. It's not going to be any time to get right then. You better know today that you know, that you know, that you know, that you're saved by the grace of God and on your way to heaven. Lord, I pray today that this would be an encouragement to those perhaps that have had loved ones lost in death in recent days. I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage their heart and strengthen them. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. If there was one thing that I could get rid of in this life, it would be death. I do not like death. I don't like it in many ways. However, the Bible teaches us about death, and it all came about because of death came about because of the Word of God. You know, we live in a day, some people die without warning. They may be fine, healthy, and you see that quite often. Oftentimes, we hear people dying, and we're in shock. But I just saw them the other day. They were at the store. They were running. They were doing something, exercising. Friend, I remind you that God is no respecter of persons, and he's no respecter of time. When his time comes, you're going to go whether you're ready or not. And yet then some people die after a period of physical and maybe mental illness or whatever it might be. And when they die, we're not as much surprised. It's quite easy for us to sometimes think about a grandmother, and again, not that we want them to die, but grandmothers have lived a pretty good long life many times, and it comes to that time that one day, and hopefully God will give them a lengthy period of time, but when they die, we don't seem to be quite as disturbed by that, because we say, well, they lived a good life, and rightfully so. But yet, irregardless of either way, death never sends a notice of his coming. He'll show up in his time and in God's time like a thief in the night. Death will appear and he'll usher us away into a place called eternity. Several deaths have touched our congregation lately, and that's what drew me to this message today. It reminds me of 2020. I remember, I don't remember how many, but in 1 month, I think I had maybe 13, maybe 2 months, 13 funerals. And somebody said, well, what do you think about doing funerals? I think it's a privilege and an honor to get to stand and declare the person who has died, if that person knows the Lord. I'd have to say that it's quite treacherous to stand over somebody's body and not know if they died with their faith in Jesus Christ or not. I'd do anything in the world. I think of what Paul said. He said, I could wish myself accursed according to my kinsmen, according to the flesh, in order that they might get saved. But you see, people who we have known, we've loved for years, are no longer here because they've been claimed by that ugly word, the enemy, death. Their departure from this world leaves us sad, grief-stricken, and frightened. You say, frightened, why would it be? Because the truth of it is, and you've heard me talk about it before, I'm not frightened anymore. As a young man, I used to allow that to frighten me. I think about getting older, and I said, boy, my time is going to be close. But I still sometimes think, and it can't help but think. The other day, I had a friend that passed away. He was 75 years old. I couldn't help but think, I'm 74 years old. And death could be just around the corner. I hope not. I hope that that would not be the case. But yet it brings fear and confusion. But listen, if you know the Lord, you don't have to worry. You don't have to fear because absent from the body is present with the Lord. None of us want to die. But the truth of it is we will. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die and after this the judgment. There's people live as if they're going to live forever. Now you say, I am going to live forever, and I understand that. But I'm talking about people that live in the world as if they're going to live forever. They think that nothing had ever happened to them. In fact, that's why people are so shocked when their loved ones are taken suddenly. Is they like, well, why did this happen to us? Why did this happen to me? All I can tell you is it was God's appointment for you for death. In this marvelous chapter that we just read, I want to give you a few thoughts before we get started. Paul describes the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and he explains to us what the resurrection of Jesus means for those of us who are children of God. He discusses how Jesus will reign over an everlasting kingdom. In his kingdom, the Bible said he will subdue all the enemies of God in righteousness, all earthly kingdoms and rulers, all earthly powers. All the enemies of God will be conquered, defeated, and done away with. Look back, if you would, and let's read it again, verse 24 and 26. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he hath put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Again today in verse 26, the last enemy said to be destroyed is death. I want you to understand today why death is an enemy. I want you to understand today how death came about. I want to share with you today what the Word of God says about death in general. And my message today, although it may sound strange, we're preaching on the death of death. So if you have your Bibles, again, look with us there at the verses that are there. And I hope today we can help you understand some things about it. Notice the arrival of death. Death has not always existed. It literally had a birthday, had a genesis. It had a coming of being when it began to happen. How did death come into this world? How did the enemy, so terrible and hurtful, be unleashed among us? Again, God created the world. I'm glad today the Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I tell you, no man had a part in that. That was all God. How did the enemy come about? God created the world. Then what God did? God placed a man created in God's own image, according to Genesis 1, 26 and 27. You know the man. His name was Adam. He was the first man to ever live and exist. He had a free reign in a garden that was beautiful. It was a place there where he could go and enjoy. There was no sin. There was nothing going on that should be. There was no murder. There was no death. I mean, literally, it was almost heaven. They were there and they had everything you could possibly imagine. He had the free reign, except for what God's will was for his life. In Genesis 2, 16 and 17, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Here we find death begins to occur in Genesis 2:16-17. Actually, it hadn't began yet. That was the warning. They had warning, just like you have warning this morning. If you're not born again, you need to get born again and trust Christ as your Savior. And so after that, we find that God looked down and saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone, so he gave him a companion. And I want to say, and I believe all men that has a good companion ought to say amen right there. We're grateful that God has given us a helpmeet. And I'm thankful today for the women of our church and those who are faithful in all that they do. And so God gave Adam Eve. And together they enjoyed God's world. Can you imagine a place so great? Only place I can imagine so great is heaven. And one day I'm going there and I'm going to dwell there. But Eve, she being the woman, now I didn't say that in a derogatory sense at all. Please don't take it that way. We're grateful. But Eve, after she come along, she went for a stroll one day and she met this old fellow named the serpent, according to Genesis 3 verse 1. He began to question God's word. He deceived, by the way, he was the devil, the serpent, the devil. And he deceived her into believing that they would not die if they ate of that fruit. Now, God had told Adam what not to do. And he said, if you do, you're sure to die. But, you know, Eve said, man, I don't know. That fruit looks pretty good. And then he questioned God's word. The serpent deceived Eve. I got a cousin named Eva. I guess I was thinking about her. But ate the fruit and commanded him not to eat. He told her she wouldn't die. But not only would she wouldn't die, but she would gain the knowledge of God and become a God, literally, is what he was saying. So Eve ate the fruit. It was too tempting for her to give in to. And then she came to Adam. We find in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, that he also, after listening to Eve, and again, this is not just blaming all on the wife or his mate. But I'm going to tell you, you better be careful who you listen to when people tell you anything that's contrary to the Word of God. As soon as they ate it, they died. You said, I don't remember reading that in the Bible. Well, no, they didn't die physically immediately. They died years later. But literally, they died spiritually, separated from God. And that's no place that you and I ever want to be, is dying spiritually with our relationship with God. Now, it's all over now. They're now sinners. Adam and Eve are sinners. Only sinners in the world. But Adam and Eve are sinners because they've sinned against God and disobeyed Him. And by the way, what is sin? Sin is a rebellion against God. It's a rebellion and disobedience to God's word. It entered the world through death, followed on the heels of sin. Immediately, they would have been all right. I literally believe they could have lived forever. But yet, they partook of the fruit that God forbid them to, and they both died. Would you listen to this statistic? 1.8 million people die every second of every day on an average. This comes out to 108 deaths per minute, 6,480 deaths per hour, 155,520 per day, and 56,764,800 each year. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of people, that's a lot of deaths, and that's a lot of funerals. However, every death occurs because Adam and Eve chose to sin. That's where death comes from, that's where it's born. The Bible said in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death was sin. And so death passed upon all men. He said, for that all have sinned. And I'm grateful today. I'm not grateful that sin's what caused death, but I'm grateful today that God told me what I needed to do about my sin in order that I might have eternal life. Death is in this world today because of sin. It's not because God dislikes us. It's not because God's punishing us. Listen, God has been good to us in so many ways. Listen, every day we live, every breath that we breathe. When I read the obituary and I read somebody under 74 that died, younger than I am, maybe in the 50s or 60s, I have to stop and thank the Lord. Thank you for 74 years. You blessed me and give me longer than I even deserved or would imagine. But because Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible said it became the sting of death. I think all of you would agree, the sting of death is bitter and harsh. This is why your loved ones and friends must die. All of us have loved ones in heaven. All of us have loved ones that are died. And again, I'm not saying it's their sin, although we do all sin. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it was Adam's sin, all the way back. There's no way out of it. Death is going to come to every one of us. That's why you and I must someday die. Why are we going to die? Because death came after sin. And it had to be that we had to die, and that's the way God made it. Death is a horrible price to pay for our sin. In Romans 6:23, it said the wages of sin is death. But he said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We never see the horror of what it is until it's too late. Sin brings about death. And some people ignore it, go on their life, they think nothing about it. But friend, I tell you today, literally, ultimately, one day it will bring death. The second thing I want you to notice with me today is notice the agony of death. Now, our text calls death our enemy. I would agree with that. I tell you, there's nothing more in my life that I'd want to do is just live for a long time. Now, I don't want to live in the state that I'm beginning to become. But I tell you what, all of us would like to be around, see our grandchildren grow up, our children grow up, get married, be successful, all those things. But yet, we find the enemy. The word enemy means hateful, actively hostile. So we find here that the enemy, the last enemy, is death. And I want to explore some of the reasons today that the Bible calls death an enemy. First of all, death is revolting to nature of living creatures. God hath put a self-preservation, one of the first laws of our nature. We prize life. We love to live. We desire to remain among the living. I'll be preaching sometime on the Lord coming back. And I'll say, I'm ready. Somebody say after the service, preacher, you ready to go to heaven? I said, just when it's the Lord's time, I enjoy life. But it's by my nature, I want to live. By your nature, you want to live. By our nature, our loved ones, we want them to live. But the reality of life is death. Death following sin and putting us in the place we are. Death is not natural. It doesn't come according to nature. Death comes according to evil, or the course of evil, which comes from the devil. Death brings bitterness. We mourn those who leave us. Oh, there's some of the hardest days, and there's some of you going through that right now. We're praying for you, holding you up, but understand you're not the first to travel that way, nor will you be the last, because there'll be more to come. No matter how many years, somebody said this, and it's easy, and I have to be careful because I've said it before. But I usually don't say it unless it's somebody close to 100. But I say they lived a good long life. You know, it really makes no difference how long a life they live. Who wants their loved one to die? Not me. So really that does not resonate with people. Now, at the age of 100, somebody might agree. They've lived a good life and I can live with that. But basically if it's somebody that dies that was still able to function and get around, we would say, man, this is hard. Something there has been created. Death brings about bitterness because of our friends. Then number three, death fractures our daily lives. The widow, many of you are widows today. You're devastated. You've lost your soulmate. You've lost the love of your life. The children are left. Many times when their parents, mother and fathers, brothers and sisters, they're here one minute and they're gone the next. You know, I'm thinking sometimes we know it's coming, but most of the time people die suddenly and they don't even realize that it's there upon their life. Death takes us away from everything we value. A very wealthy man walked through his palace one day, and here's what he said. He said, these things make it hard for me to die. You know, today, we need to understand this man, when he died, it didn't matter what he had. All he got was a 6 feet of earth and nothing more. The same is true of a man who dies with nothing. A man dies with everything. He ain't taking it with him. And I'm going to tell you, we don't live for the things we have down here. We ought to be living for God and serving Him. Death severs us from the best things in life. I'm not worried about my possessions when I die. I'm really not. Somebody else can have them if they're around. If the Lord comes back, I hope you went with me. But you know what I treasure the most that I don't want to leave? I don't want to leave my family. I tell you, for 50 years, Susan and I have been married, and I'm grateful for her, and I can't imagine being without her. And I know some of you have gone through that. But I tell you, I don't want to leave our families. We don't want to leave our churches. At least I don't. We don't want to leave our churches. We want to be a part of the church, the people we love, our friends. Now, we may be willing to leave our possessions, but I don't believe anybody wants to leave their loved ones behind. I'm saying this day, and again, I pray this is not upsetting anyone, but I hope you understand what the Scripture says about death. Death destroys all successes. Everything we worked for, everything we lived for, everything we accumulated, everything we accomplished is ripped from our grasping hand, and we enter eternity with nothing in our hand. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 6:7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Death destroys all. So I don't care. You may be in the Hall of Fame, or you may be the greatest movie star, or you may be the greatest preacher that ever lived. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't make any difference. When you die, you're going to be on the same level just as everybody else. And there'll be no successes that'll be recognized. Death is accompanied by the worst in life has to offer. Here's the part we don't like to think about. In our life, the older we get, the more we go down. And you know what I'm talking about. Decay, decline, knees, shoulders, backs, feet, you name it. Most everybody here, not everybody, but most, out of all the things I've named, I'm sure somebody could have raised their hand for that. But coming it is, whether we're ready or not, death is coming. Death is a fearful enemy. Death is the worst enemy, and it conjures up fear. We can battle with Satan and overcome him in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but death we cannot overcome. No human being can or will defeat death. When death comes, he comes with desolation. He comes with despair. He comes with discouragement. All of those things fit into the category. And there's never been an enemy like this, like death. So we've seen the arrival of death. We've noticed the agony of death. But here's the good part. Here's the annihilation of death. Notice in verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. When Jesus died on the cross, sin and Satan were defeated. You hear me? Sin and Satan were defeated when Jesus died on the cross. They still linger in the world, but their doom is sealed. We know the Bible said the devil is still going around as a roaring lion, seeking him he may devour. But I'm telling you, his days are coming. His death sentence is going to be taken away before long. When Jesus returns, he's going to remove our sin from the world. He'll banish it into eternal oblivion. When Jesus returns, he's going to cast Satan alive into the lake of fire. Somebody say amen right there. Where he will be tormented forever. In Revelation 20, verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them. Deceived who? Adam and Eve, and deceiving you and I. Deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so will lost people that reject Jesus Christ. But I pray today that you know him as your Savior. When Jesus died on the cross, he defeated sin and Satan. When he rose from the dead 3 days later, he defeated death. I'm glad today our Lord's resurrection from the dead promises freedom from death to all those who believe in him. Notice verse 22 of our text. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I don't know, that's some encouraging words right there. And it was because of his resurrection that one day we'll have a resurrection. All those who are in Jesus will live forever. I thought a while ago as the choir sang, what a beautiful song, but it said, "Give me Jesus." Friend, I tell you what, there's nothing this world holds that I want more than I want Jesus. and I enjoy my family, and I don't like death. I don't like thinking about death. I want to go in the rapture. I'm telling you, that's my prayer. Lord, I want to be around, and I hope it's soon that you take us all out of here to be with you. But maybe not. I'll go the same way many have gone before. In John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But people, even believers, good Christian people, they die. They do die. We don't understand it. The flesh part of us that originated on earth, it dies physically. But the part of that originated in heaven, when we got born again, we live on in the spirit and live on in eternity. You remember what Jesus said to Martha when Lazarus died? He said in John 11:25-26, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe this morning as a child of God you'll never die? You may experience physical death, but you'll never experience spiritual death because of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond this, there's going to come a day when the Lord Jesus returns to earth. When he does, he'll raise his people from the graves. The greatest privilege of a funeral of a saved one is to stand at the cemetery and tell them, your loved one was saved. One day this grave is going to bust wide open. We call it, and Keith uses it a lot too, but there's a song, they call it Resurrection Ground. I tell you, one day we're coming back. We're going to rise from the grave. Our bodies are going to be delivered when he raises them up. In 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, in fact, you can follow along, it's right there. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I tell you, I don't know. I wouldn't hurt every now and then for somebody to get excited about that. I'm telling you, what a happy day that's going to be. Now, the day he comes back, death will be destroyed. When the Lord comes back, death will be destroyed. All these who are in Jesus will be delivered from the grip of death. They'll be reunited with their new glorified bodies and taken to heaven to live with the Lord forever. Now, the church of Thessalonica in the book of Thessalonians will not turn there, but they were having a time. Now, the Thessalonica church was a good church, but they believed that their departed loved ones were just gone and they'd never come again. Aren't you glad we have a hope? We have a hope of seeing Jesus again, but we have a hope of seeing our moms and our dads and our sons and our daughters and our children. Boy, I tell you today, that's a great hope to have in him. They believed, the reason they believed that is because they thought they had missed the resurrection. We haven't missed the resurrection. The Lord is coming back one day, and when he does, we're going to be resurrected out of the grave to be with him. Oh, what a thought. And even those who have died, just remember that they're not suffering as they were now. The Thessalonican church were in despair over the thought of their loved ones being trapped in a grave. You know, somebody says that's a harsh thing, to put somebody in a grave and cover them up. That's a harsh thing. No, it's not a harsh thing at all, because they're not there. That's just the old shell. This old shell, when I die, it ain't going to be worth nothing. I mean, it ain't hardly worth much now. But it ain't going to be worth nothing. But I tell you what, when the Lord comes back, it's going to all change. But I'm going to already be with him in my spirit and soul, and I'm going to dwell with him forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. We're not going ahead of those buried. They're going to come out before we do. We're going to follow them up. Shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. One day death is defeated forever. The saints of God will have an eternity to spend together with our loved ones and with our Lord. No wonder Paul closed out in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. I didn't read that a while ago, but when he finished saying about coming back, he said, comfort one another with these words. I know we don't like to think about death, but we ought not be discouraged by death. We ought to understand that it's God's plan, and it all came about not because of anything you did, anything that I did, but it's all because of what Satan did when he worked in Adam and Eve's life. Notice, death came last. There was the devil, there was sin, and then there was death, right? So it came, we find it came last. And death, until the end destroyed, is going to come last. It better be, death is much better. Now, I remember, and again, I remember when my son got killed, and the funeral director, Mr. Allen, he said this to me, and I did not comprehend. But he says, you know, there's some things worse than death. And at that time, I really had a hard time seeing it. But I've been around long enough now to walk into nursing homes where people have been vegetables for just about all their life. We don't understand why God leaves them here. We don't know what his plan is, but it's God's plan. And then quickly, I want to move on. But why, when we think about death, the enemy is gone. Why is there death? Because God uses death. God uses death. There are no sermons as powerful as the death of one that has served the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, when you can get up in front of a bunch of people and exalt how they lived for the Lord and how they served the Lord and how they were faithful to the Lord and how they did everything with God in their mind. Listen, that is lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifying Him. I'm glad today that I can preach sermons in funerals of people many times that were great saints of God. I could start naming some right now. But if it had been no death, the saints would have had the opportunity. If it had not been for their death, we'd have no opportunity to exalt their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say exalt them. I said exalt Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Death has allowed many millions of faithful saints to demonstrate the depth of their love for Jesus by laying down their lives, even as martyrs. Many people have been saved at funerals. Many people have gone home and thought about what was said. I don't have it near as much as you'd like for it to. But I tell you, I'm going to do my best. Any funeral I preach, they're going to get the gospel. Right. I'm going to give it to them, maybe short and sweet, but I'm going to give it to them as plain as I can because I want them to be saved. And then death. What do we say? The Bible said in Psalm 118, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Can you imagine death? Unless the Lord comes back, and we're all counting on that. But if He don't, death one day is going to usher me into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Death is a cruel enemy, but death's days are numbered. He has been defeated. He'll be defeated one day and will forever be free from pain, problems, and grief death brings. Thanks be to God for His power over death. The death of death.